is worthy to be praised. He's so good. He's Alpha and Omega. Lord God, we thank you for this time here together today, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we just ask that you would have your way in the hearts and lives of each and every person at the sound of my voice, Lord. That you would touch them, pour into them. Lord, this is not about us. It's about you. It's about the work that you so selflessly gave on the cross for us, Lord. And we thank you for that. Let the meditation of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And absolutely none of me up here, Lord, but all of you. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody say, amen. Praise God. We're back here again, man. I'm fired up again, man, because God is good. He is so good. We talked about compromising truth this morning. And today we're going to talk about how to not compromise the truth by being led by the Holy Spirit. You know what? Sometimes I think that the Holy Spirit is the most underrated entity in the kingdom of God because people don't understand that we need him. It's not an option to have the Holy Spirit. We need, if we want to have an effective, powerful walk in the kingdom of God, we need the unseen entity called the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So today we're going to find out how to be led by the Holy Spirit, how to walk in the Holy Spirit, and how do we live in the Spirit effectively and have the power of God working in us and through us that we can be transformed by the Spirit of God and that others can see the transformation in us and they might get the same transformation that we have. So the foundational scripture, we're taking this out of Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it says, but if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, quicken means to make alive, give strength, power. And I'm going to try my hardest tonight to lay a foundation about the Holy Spirit and try to get you guys to see that he's the unseen entity in the kingdom of God and how he works. And we have to understand that there's a spirit that works in the world as well. And that's the spirit that's called Antichrist. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. See, we can't operate without the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't know why people think that they can walk this walk without the power of the Holy Spirit, man. We will fail every time because we have an enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we don't have the power in and out ourselves to conquer him, but we know the one who does, and his name is Jesus. And that's why he sent the Comforter. And oftentimes in church, people talk about the Holy Spirit, but they try to make him seem like he's something that he's not. And he's a lot of things, man, but we need him because he's our teacher. He's our comforter. He's our strengthener. And we're going to find all that stuff out, man, that this is why Jesus sent the advocate, the comforter, the Holy Spirit, because there's times in our life we're going to need to take hold of healing. But we can't do it in ourselves. It's through the Spirit of God. Everything is obtained by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that works in us. So we have the sanctification process that we go through. And that sanctification, we're set apart, and it's the power that works in us to bring us to a place of perfection. Like, we're being perfected through the Holy Spirit, by the sanctification process. Now, in order to understand everything, that's what I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. And like I said earlier, we have to understand that there is an enemy that's working against us that has a spirit other than the Holy Spirit. If you have a Bible, turn to Ephesians 2:2. We want to take a look at something here. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 2. And he says, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world. obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God, who refuse. Now, that's radical, man, because there's a lot of Christians walking around today that refuse to obey God, but they're calling themselves Christians, but they refuse to obey God. And they want to walk their own path. It's like I talked about this morning. There's a way that seems right to a man, but to the end, there's destruction. So if we're refusing to obey God, what spirit are we walking in? We have to think about that, man, because that's some serious stuff. And he says to refuse to obey God. So what we can see from the scripture that there's clearly that people are clearly driven by a spirit, whether that's the spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of the Antichrist. So in Luke 10:19, he says, this is the kicker. Jesus says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, meaning demonic forces, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. So the thing I want to get us to see tonight, that we cannot perfect religion. We have to perfect our relationship in Christ so we know how to move and how we operate in the spiritual, in the kingdom of God, in the spiritual realm. So I want to check out some scriptures here, and I want to try to get a foundation and nail down just who the Holy Ghost is and what his mission is to the born-again believer. Because he is responsible for some things in our lives, things that we have no control over and things that we can't tackle in ourselves, but he knows how to show us. The Holy Spirit knows us. He knows us from the inside out. And the first thing I want to talk about, how he's a comforter and a teacher. We need a comforter and a teacher. We have so many situations and circumstances in our lives that require knowledge that is beyond our skills, and that it's only found in the Spirit of God to teach us and direct us and guide us. John 14:26 says, but the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which means he's an intercessor, a counselor. The Greek for it is intercessor, counselor, an advocate, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things. Boy, we live in a world right now where knowledge is so available, but it's worldly knowledge. It doesn't mean anything, but we have the Holy Spirit that is able to teach us all things, to guard our hearts in all things. When the world's trying to direct us into one direction, he can pull us back to the direction where God wants us to be and to direct us and push us forward in where God needs us to be. And he says to teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. That's powerful. But how are we supposed to know what he's going to bring to our remembrance if we don't get into this thing? Because this is what he's trying to bring to our remembrance. Everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness is in this book. It's in the Bible. And that's what the Holy Ghost, he's responsible for. He's responsible for teaching us and guiding us and bringing this to our remembrance when we need it. All things to our remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Another thing he does, he gives revelation of the truth. He testifies and he gives revelation of the truth. I can't tell you, we're living in such a time right now where truth is so jacked up. This person has their truth. This person has their truth. That person has their truth. Well, last time I checked, the Bible says that Jesus is the way and the truth. And that's the only truth that I know of. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John 15, 26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth. See, he's the Spirit of truth. He's the advocate of who Jesus Christ is that lives in us. He dwells in us. And we need that power that's within us to teach us truth. And he says, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So he's testifying of Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. We live in a world today where everything is just, the enemy has his hands in everything. And if we're not careful, we can quickly be deceived. Look at the indoctrination that they're teaching in these schools, kids in schools, man. It's craziness. That's why we need, listen, you need the Holy Spirit so you can send your kids to school with the Holy Spirit, because they need to be able to say, hey, I'm not standing for that. That's not what my Bible says, and that's not what my parents say, and they know what Jesus said. So we need to be at a point in our life where we're so steadfast and immersed in the presence of God that we know, that we know, that we know, if it's not from God, it's from the enemy. I don't care how the world patches it up and tries to make it look all pretty. We have to know for a fact in our hearts and deep down in our bowels and our spirit that Jesus Christ, if it's not of him, it's of the devil. This is the time that we're living in now, folks. It's not a time where we have the luxury, so to speak, of straddling the fence. We live in a time where we are at the very coming of Jesus Christ. We are at the very brink of the skies opening up. And I tell you what, I'm ready. And I want you guys to be ready too. He wants us all to be captured up with him, man. So that's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need him to teach us. We need him to bring things into our remembrance. We need him to testify and give us revelation of knowledge and truth of Jesus Christ. But here's another thing that we also need. And we talked about this a little bit earlier today. We need to be reproved and corrected. We don't like that, do we? Nobody wants to be reproved and corrected about stuff because we know everything. We know everything. We think we got it down. At least that's how the world thinks. So we need to be reproved. We need to be corrected. We need to be pruned. Listen, there's no growth without crushing. You can't turn grapes into wine without crushing them. And in the same way, Christ wants to prune us. He wants to grow us. He wants to mature us. He does not want us to step and be baby Christians for the rest of our lives. He's got a mission for us. And how can he put us on that mission if we're not able to be matured and to grow in him? So that's why we need the Holy Spirit to reprove and correct us. John 16, 7 through 9, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. Jesus was saying this is needed. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, this is what he's going to do. He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin because they believe not on me. Now, to understand more how we walk in and how we live in and how to be led by the Holy Spirit, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is not some force that comes in and out of our lives. At one point, it was like that in the Old Covenant. But what he does is he takes residence in our bodies. He becomes a part of us in spirit. And he's our inheritance. The Bible promised us the Holy Spirit. Even you can look in from the Old Covenant, how this was a promise that we have. It's an inheritance. And to inherit something, it really means to be imputed on. It's a gift. You know, we didn't do anything to deserve it. Praise God. We didn't do anything to deserve what Jesus did. But he still went to the cross, even while we were yet sinners. Amen. So we have to come into possession of it, and we have to get a hold of him. We have to get a hold of it, and we have to take it by faith. The power that works in us, we have to activate it by our faith and in our belief. So it's an inheritance. Ephesians 1, 13 through 14 says this. He says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." In verse 14, he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So he teaches us. He's our comforter. He testifies. He gives us revelation. He reproves and corrects us. He's our inheritance. Here's a big part. He's our leader. We need a leader, people. We all need a leader. We all have gone astray in some way, shape, form, and fashion, and have needed Jesus to get a hold of us and bring us back into a right relationship with him. And that's only done because we have a leader, and his name's Holy Spirit. Luke 4:1 says, and this is Jesus as the example. He says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. If Jesus was led by the Spirit from the wilderness, who in the world are we? Who are we to think that we have our own plans, our own purpose, and our own things in line, and that we know what we're doing, if the Son of God needs to be led by the Holy Spirit? We have to get to a point in our walk with God that we're so completely yielded that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when it's time to go right, we go right. When it's time to go left, we go left. And we don't question him. Sometimes we wanna do things our way and take back the wheel. And then when we crash the car, we get mad at God. God never gave us to go on to take anything. We have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead our lives. Praise God. Everybody out there? Amen. And let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 15. I know this is a lot of scripture, and the Lord kind of changed up my message on me when I got back home. But I just felt like we were taught, Brother Steve had brought up the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit this morning, and it just kind of tugged at my heart. And I felt like people need to get a real understanding about what the Holy Spirit does, man, because this is serious stuff. We can't continue to walk on our path and keep running into walls when we have the power of the living God that lives within us to direct us and guide us and take us on the path towards right relationship and right standing with him. We have to hearken to the voice of God in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Amen. Romans 8, 14 through 15, he says, and this is good, man. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Woo! For all who are led. He didn't say for all who read their Bible, which is great. Don't get me wrong. We got to read our Bible. He didn't say for all who come to church and sit in a pew. He didn't say for all who do their six prayers a day or six prayers a week. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That'll make you think about some stuff, won't it? Praise God. And he goes on to say, Paul, the writer, he goes on to say that, so you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you have received God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. Now we call him Daddy God. Praise God. That's good news, man. Listen, I don't ever want to be in a place where I'm trying to depend on myself and trying to work through self-effort, because self-effort will accomplish zero. We need the Spirit of God to move on our behalf. When walls come up that we can't tear down, we need the Spirit of God to move in, to move and change somebody's heart. And how do we know those things? Well, we have to hear the voice of God. How do we hear the voice of God? Through the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. This Christian walk was not meant to be done alone, and it was not meant to be done without the Spirit working in us. We are not lone rangers, and we can't do this walk without the Spirit of God moving in us. Man, there's too much. If you haven't looked around lately, this world is catered to everything that has to do with our flesh. Lust, pride, money, you know, self. When in fact God is telling us to let go of self, let him move in, and that we can be a blessing and a transformative power to others by them seeing the Jesus Christ that's in us. But we can't do that unless we understand that we need the Holy Spirit doing it for us. Praise God. He's our comforter, our teacher. He testifies. He gives revelation of us. He of the truth of Jesus Christ. He reproves us. He corrects us. He's our inheritance. He's our leader. And again, he teaches us. I want to talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. I want to read this real quick and go back to teaching, because that's important. Because we need to be pliable before the hands of God, man. We need to be pliable. We can't get on this horse where we think that just because we've been saved for so long that we know everything. Because I know some 20-plus year walking Christians that are as dumb as a rock. No, I'm serious. Like, I'm really serious. People who have been walking with the Lord years longer than I have, and they think they got it pat down, and they're getting hit up by upside the head every week by the devil. And he's still in their joy. He's still in their strength. He's still in their families. He's still in their kids. And they can't understand why all this is happening. And I keep telling them, hearken to God. James says, people misquote the scripture all the time, where James says, resist the devil and he will flee. No, the Bible says that we have to yield to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee. We yield to God because God has all the power. We don't have it. He does. So we yield to God. How do we do that? Through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 says this. He says, when we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. It's taken out of the NLT. It's Paul speaking. He says, instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. Man, there's some things we're just not going to understand about the kingdom of God unless we have the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of things, everything in this book, you're not going to be able to understand unless you have the Holy Spirit. It is spiritually discerned. And God designed it like that. Because we need to be completely yielded and dependent upon him for everything in our lives, even to read this book. And he goes on to say, he says, instead we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But watch this, verse 14, he says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. Boy, it's not hard. And all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Paul's saying that this stuff isn't hard. It's foolishness to you if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And he says, those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. So what we understand is that when we start to walk in the Spirit of God and we allow the Spirit to do his job, we have to come. We have to realize this. We have to come to an end of ourselves. And we have to completely realize that it's not about us, but it's about Christ who lives in us. We have to completely die to self. And that's the problem with people these days, man. They want to hold on to self. They want to hold on to things in this world. And we have to get to a point in our lives, in our walk, in our Christian walk, that we're so completely submitted to God that we want to let go of everything in this world. And we have to do that so he can use us. Because if we continue to hold on to self and things that we want, it blocks, it puts up a big wall between us and Jesus. Because we have our minds completely on us all the time. So he says in Galatians 2, chapter 2, verse 20, he says, and this is great, Paul the apostle, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, since we're crucified with Christ, we can walk in the newness of life. That's what the Holy Spirit does, and that we can be led by the Holy Spirit because it's Christ that lives in us, and he enables us to walk in this newness of life. And he gives us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And it's impossible to gain or obtain these things through self-effort. Watch this. Religious deeds, religious duties. It's only by Christ that lives in us. And it's only him that moves us to a path and works us to a path of right standing and right relationship and righteousness. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 through 14, it says, but the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. What Paul was saying right there is that we're not bound by sin anymore. When the Holy Spirit comes in us, he changes our heart. He changes our desires. We're no longer bound by the stronghold of sin in our lives because we have an option because the Holy Spirit that lives in us moves and he directs us and he shows us. And the Bible says that with every temptation that we have a way out. And he goes on to say, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates or its rulership, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. And here, and we can go back to verse 14. He says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Because we're the children of God, because we decide to let the Spirit of God move in us and take residence and have his way. Because it's no longer us that lives, but it's Christ in us. So when we start to see the change, when we start to see these things come up that we used to struggle with or things that we had no power over, and we start to see that the Holy Spirit are moving those barriers out of our lives and he's changing our desires and he's changing our hearts. We know that it's the Christ that lives in us. Has nothing to do with what we brought to the table, but everything to do with over 2,000 years, what he did on the cross. This was a completed work over 2,000 years ago. So in conclusion, I want to say that when we as believers begin to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, we begin to be nurtured by him. We need nurturing. We begin to depend on him. We begin to listen to his direction. And there's a peace that comes with that. And the peace of God, it guides us in all our circumstances and all our situations. The Bible says that the peace of God will guide us. And that's how we know that it's the Holy Spirit working in us. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. I took this one out of Amplified. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure in him. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people, not just believers, but the unbelievers too. It says the Lord is near. And he goes on to say, do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance, in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God. And watch this. He says, and the peace of God, the peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding. This is a peace that the world cannot understand. This is a peace that the world did not give us and they can't take it away. This is a peace when the walls are falling down around you, we know everything is going to be all right because Christ is in the midst of my storm. This is the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And this is what he said it's going to do. It's going to guard over our hearts. It's going to guard over our minds. But it's only going to be done in Christ Jesus. In the Holy Spirit. You ever wonder why you see some Christians and they're like, the least little thing that goes off in their life is turmoil and it's craziness. They don't have the peace of God. They don't have the Holy Spirit. Because that's what we lean on. We read earlier, Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away. Because he knew when he went away, he was going to send him to live inside of us. And that's what we need. We need Jesus inside of us, the hope of glory. Praise God. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor. That's interesting. Let the peace of Christ be the controlling factor in your hearts, deciding and settling questions that arise. To this peace indeed, you were called as members in one body of believers. And be thankful to God always. And I want to read one more scripture here. It's out of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 11. He says, finally, believers, rejoice. Rejoice. That means to have joy over and over and over again. He says, be made complete. Be what you should be. He says, be comforted. Be like-minded, of one mind. And he says, live in peace. Enjoy the spiritual well-being experienced by believers who walk closely with God. Who walk closely with God. I want to say that again. Who walk closely with God. A sustained relationship. A relationship that's completely dependent upon the hand of Jesus working in our lives. Who walk closely with God. And the God of love and peace, he's the God of love and peace, the source of loving kindness, will be with you. And I would like to encourage everybody tonight, man. If you don't have that relationship with God and you're desiring a new walk with him, I would like you to come up after this service is over. That we can pray with you. pray for closeness. Pray for a renewed sense of relationship with Jesus Christ, because he wants to be your all in all. He wants to be your everything. Holy Spirit wants to move into your every situation and circumstance, and he wants to touch you, and he wants to meet you right where you are tonight. He wants to meet you in your mess, just like he did with me over three and a half, four years ago. He wants to meet you right where you are and transform your life. And you'll know it by the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. It'll keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, worthy is your name. Glory be to God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for who you are. We thank you, Jesus Christ, that you're so good to us. You did not leave us as orphans here on this earth, Lord. You sent your Spirit down to dwell in man, to dwell in woman, to keep us, Lord, to guide us, to guard our hearts, to strengthen us. And Lord, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that at the sound of my voice, that everyone here that needs a renewed right relationship with you, Holy Spirit, that you would touch their hearts, that you would touch their lives. At the sound of my voice, that the presence of God would invade their circumstances, would invade their trials and their tribulations, and that you would set them back on the rock of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for who you are. You're nothing short of glorious in our eyes. We are nothing short of a miracle from you. And it's all because of the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. It's all because of the blood that you so selflessly shed over 2,000 years ago, Lord. Draw us all closer to you, Jesus. That's my prayer tonight, Lord. Holy Spirit, that you would have your way. That there would be resurrection power in each and every person's life here tonight, Lord Jesus. That you would touch the very depths of their souls and their hearts, and their lives would be transformed by the power of the Spirit that works in us. We thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you that you're a loving Father. We thank you that you care for us so much, that you know us by name, Jesus. You know every hair on our head, Lord. And you are intimately acquainted with each and every one of our hurts, our mishaps, our past, even our future. So we glorify your name, Jesus. We give you all the praise. We worship you, Jesus, because you are worthy. And we honor you. And we love you. Not because of anything that we've done, but Jesus. It's not that we loved you, but that you first loved us. Help us, Lord, to be more like you and nothing like ourselves. And it's in Jesus' mighty, precious, majestic name we pray. And everybody say, amen.